Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's time for Justice Matters with former federal prosecutor and MSNBC analyst Glenn Kirshner. Did the Georgia grand juror harm DA Fannie Willis's election crimes case against Trump and his associates when she spoke to reporters? Here's Glenn.
So friends, have you seen some of the breathless attacks and accusations against 30-year-old Emily Kors, the forewoman of the Georgia state grand jury who put her life on hold for 8 months, as did her fellow grand jurors, to sit there and hear endless evidence about the Georgia state election crimes of Donald Trump and others? Well, Ms. Kors gave some interviews about her experience as a grand jury, and then we saw some histrionics, like this headline: Georgia grand juror imperils Trump case with bizarre media tour. No. Actually, Ms. Kors didn't imperil anything. So, you know, to all of the Trump loyalists and lackeys and sycophants, why don't you just go ahead and drag your fainting couch back into the closet? Because Emily Kors did nothing wrong. But friends, don't take it from me. Take it from Judge McBurney, the Georgia State Court judge who had supervisory authority over the special grand jury. Here is what Judge McBurney said in an interview he just gave to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution about why Ms. Kors imperiled exactly nothing, why Ms. Kors was entitled to do precisely what she did, and then some. Here's what Judge McBurney had to say in an article in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, specifically under the heading, McBurney Weighs In. In a Wednesday interview, Judge McBurney said he met with the special grand jurors at the end of their service to explain what they may legally discuss with anyone, not just the news media. Quote, "They cannot discuss their deliberations," he said. "So the question becomes, what are deliberations? And as I explained, that would be the discussions they had amongst themselves when it was just the grand jurors in the room, when they were discussing, what do we do with what we've learned," said Judge McBurney. "But if an assistant DA or a witness is in the grand jury room, they, the grand jurors, can talk about what happened then," the judge said. "That's not deliberations. That's presentation. And they, the grand jurors, are not prohibited from talking about that, nor are they prohibited from talking about the fruit of their deliberations, which would be their final report." So no, Emily Kors didn't violate Georgia state law. Emily Kors didn't violate any of the rules as explained by Judge McBurney. In fact, it's pretty clear she could have disclosed even more than she did. So Donald Trump will have exactly zero legal challenges to make against his indictment, against his prosecution, based on the fact that Ms. Kors gave some interviews. Something else that Ms. Kors made pretty clear, and that is that the grand jury recommended Donald Trump should be indicted. Why do I say that? Well, she danced around that issue. Arguably, she could have come right out and said it, according to what Judge McBurney indicated was appropriate for grand jurors to discuss, like the fruits of their investigation, as Judge McBurney said, which would be their final report, but she didn't go that far. But at one point, a reporter said to her, "Do you know that Donald Trump posted that your grand jury report totally exonerated him?" And you could see the surprise on Emily Kaur's face. And she said, "He did? He said that? Oh, that's phenomenal. That's fantastic. I love that," is what Ms. Kaur said. You know what? I'm kind of with Ms. Kaur on that one. I love that. Because justice matters. Friends, we're getting there.
Coming up next, Special Counsel Jack Smith didn't just fire a shot across the bow, he fired a cannon across the bow when it comes to the Mike Pence subpoena issue. This is Justice Matters.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
The way Special Counsel Jack Smith is handling his latest subpoena to former Vice President Mike Pence in the probes of Donald Trump tells us many things about what type of prosecutor he will be in the upcoming court cases. Here's Glenn.
So friends, I want to touch on a recent legal development involving Special Counsel Jack Smith and the subpoena he served on the most cowardly politician in America, Mike Pence. Because this story really tells us a lot about the kind of prosecutor we have in Jack Smith. But it's not at all intuitive from the reporting. So let me start with the reporting and then let's talk about why it tells us so much about the way Jack Smith is proceeding in his investigation of the crimes of Donald Trump. The story first broke in this CBS News article. Headline, Special Counsel asks judge to compel Mike Pence to testify in January 6 probe. And that story reads in part, federal prosecutors have asked the chief judge in Washington, D.C.'s federal court to compel former Vice President Mike Pence to comply with a grand jury subpoena and testify as a witness in Special Counsel Jack Smith's investigation into the events surrounding the January 6, 2021 attack on the Capitol, three people familiar with the investigation told CBS News. Filed less than 2 weeks after news broke that Pence had received the subpoena, the legal document asks the court to uphold the subpoena's legal authority and indicates Justice Department prosecutors are moving quickly in their attempt to get Pence before a grand jury. And friends, Jack Smith filed this motion, asking Chief Judge Beryl Howell to shoot down, to deny Mike Pence's privileges before Mike Pence ever set foot in the grand jury and started to invoke those privileges. And I want to try to explain why that is so unusual, so important, and so telling. And hopefully, if I can explain it well enough, by the end of this, you'll see why Jack Smith is like a Major League Baseball pitcher, and he is striking out batters while they're sitting in the dugout, before they even have a chance to walk to home plate for their at-bat. So friends, we're going to start with a discussion of a legal doctrine known as ripeness, and then I'm going to move on to a real-world example of a witness going into the grand jury and pleading the Fifth, invoking their Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination, a situation prosecutors deal with every day. I dealt with it hundreds of times in my former career as a prosecutor, and I want to use that to try to help explain why Jack Smith is really a different kind of federal prosecutor. But let's start with the doctrine of ripeness. What is ripeness? Well, let me give you the legal definition. A claim is ripe when the facts of the case have matured into an existing substantial controversy warranting judicial intervention. Clear as mud, right? Bunch of legal mumbo jumbo, written by lawyers, probably who were billing by the hour. Let me unravel what the doctrine of ripeness is by using a real-world example. Boiled down to its essence, a judge won't decide an issue until it's ripe, until it's ready to be decided, until both parties have sort of done everything necessary to bring the issue to a head so it can be presented to a judge and a judge has an issue, a controversy that is well-defined and that can then be decided by the judge. Let me use a real-world example. Often, I would subpoena people to testify before the grand jury. You know, for 22 of my 30 years, I was trying murder cases and RICO cases in Washington, D.C., so I often use homicide cases as an example. It's what I know. And I would subpoena people to the grand jury who I believed had relevant information and evidence about the murder I was investigating. So let's assume that I have a target of the investigation, somebody that the evidence suggests committed a murder, and I learn that the target's girlfriend is a witness to the murder, and I believe she can identify her boyfriend as the perpetrator, as the killer. We serve her with a subpoena. She comes down to the grand jury. Maybe she has counsel representing her as a witness. If she doesn't, before I put any witness in the federal grand jury, I always advise them. They have a right to a lawyer to advise them as a witness before the grand jury in case, for example, they have a concern about a Fifth Amendment privilege against self-incrimination or other concerns. We can get a lawyer appointed free of charge to help them navigate their way through their grand jury appearance. So let's assume that this witness, together with her lawyer, tells me before we enter the grand jury, I'm going to plead the Fifth. I'm going to invoke my right against self-incrimination. Now, that strikes me as odd because I don't have any evidence that she has a Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. Because the only way you have that right is if your truthful testimony would incriminate you, not if it would incriminate your boyfriend or your loved one or a family member. You can't plead the Fifth for that, only if your truthful testimony would make it look like you committed a crime. So let's assume this witness said, I'm going to plead the Fifth. I don't want to testify. I'm not going to go in there and say anything. I say, okay. And then we go over to see the chief judge who has supervisory responsibility over the grand jury, including litigating privileges that witnesses try to claim. And I say, Judge, this witness said she's going to plead the Fifth in the grand jury. I don't think she has a Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination based on the information I have. I would like you to order her to testify. You know what the judge would say to me? Mr. Kirshner, has she testified yet? No, Your Honor. So she hasn't gone into the grand jury and pled the Fifth, invoked her Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. Not yet, Your Honor. Well then, Mr. Kirshner, the issue isn't ripe. It's not ready for me to decide it. Go back, present her to the grand jury, and see what she does. That's a real-world example, friends, of how an issue is not ripe until it's ripe. Because you know what happens? Often I would have witnesses tell me, I don't want to testify, I'm going to plead the fifth. But it really wasn't because their testimony would incriminate them. It was because it would incriminate their boyfriend or their girlfriend or their spouse or their neighbor or somebody they were scared of or somebody that they were trying to protect. So they would use the fifth, they would throw it up as an obstacle, as an attempt not to have to testify because they just didn't want to testify for any number of reasons. So what would happen is sometimes I would put that kind of a witness in the grand jury, they realized I called their bluff and they would throw up their hands and they wouldn't invoke the fifth and they would go ahead and testify. And that demonstrates or illustrates how the issue ain't ripe until it's ripe, until the witness goes into the grand jury and the prosecutor asks that witness all the questions. Maybe it's 100 questions, maybe it's 1,000 questions, it might be 5 hours worth of testimony, but you have to ask all the questions. You have to let the witness invoke whatever privilege they're going to invoke. Maybe it's the Fifth Amendment privilege against self-incrimination. Maybe it's the attorney-client privilege. Maybe it's the doctor-patient privilege. Maybe it's the executive privilege. Maybe it's speech or debate clause privilege, which Mike Pence doesn't have, but he might try to pull that one out of his sleeve. We'll go with sleeve there. And only after you develop all of that evidence on the record can you then go to the judge and say, now, judge, we want you to assess this and we want you to find, to rule that these privileges are bogus. Mike Pence can't invoke them, and we want you to order him to testify. That is the way the issue is ripe. That is the way the issue gets resolved by a judge. But that is not what Jack Smith is doing, friends. That's what pretty much every other federal prosecutor who's been involved in, you know, investigating the crimes of Donald Trump and his criminal associates have been doing, because that's the way federal prosecutors usually do it. Put Mike Pence in the grand jury, ask him 5 hours or 10 hours or 2 days worth of questions, because he's not going to have a privilege to all of them. You know, for example, did you ever talk with Ginny Thomas? Did you ever talk with Scott Perry, Kevin McCarthy? Well, those kind of questions have no privilege, not an executive privilege, because he wasn't talking with Donald Trump, which is where the executive privilege comes in. And he wasn't talking to his lawyer, so it's not attorney-client privilege. And he's not presumably incriminating himself if he's talking to Kevin McCarthy or Scott Perry. Those men may be incriminating themselves, but that doesn't give Mike Pence a right to plead the fifth. But it's only after you've asked all those questions in the grand jury and developed that record that the issue is ripe to be resolved by the judge. But that takes forever. Because first of all, you got to get Mike Pence into the grand jury. You got to wear him out, ask him thousands of questions, develop the record, brief it all up for the judge, set an oral argument schedule, go in and argue it, wait for the judge's decision, and all the while the clock is ticking down. We're burning democracy daylight. Mike Pence is delaying and weaponizing that delay to his advantage and Donald Trump's advantage as our democracy continues to die. And that's not what Jack Smith chose to do, but it is what most prosecutors would have done. Jack Smith said, not this time. This is too important. It's too urgent. It's too time sensitive. So before I ever try to drag Mike Pence into the grand jury by the scruff of the collar, I'm going right to the chief judge. And I want the chief judge to decide if there's enough of a record right now for her to order Mike Pence to testify. You know, this is a preemptive move by Jack Smith. This is an offensive move by Jack Smith. This is Jack Smith going hard and going fast, going scorched earth in the direction of accountability. No two ways about it. And friends, maybe it will succeed and maybe it will fail. Maybe Judge Beryl Howell will say, no, I think you need to put him in the grand jury and follow the normal, slow, time-consuming process. Jack Smith is not satisfied by following the same old blueprint. You know why? The same old blueprint has never been applied to a criminal president who tried to overthrow our democracy and a vice president who is trying to hide, bury, secrete the evidence of Donald Trump's crimes that he, Mike Pence, has. Mike Pence is the smallest, most scared, most unpatriotic man in America right now, unwilling to tell the grand jury, just like he was unwilling to tell the January 6th committee about the crimes of Donald Trump that were designed, that were committed in an attempt to kill our democracy. Mike Pence. And Jack Smith is having none of it. So friends, when I say that Jack Smith is like a baseball pitcher striking out people in the dugout or trying his level best to do so, that is precisely what he's doing. And we have, I believe, and I hope we're not being fooled, but I don't think we are, we have a special kind of justice warrior in Jack Smith. And I know people who've worked directly for him, and that's what they tell me their take is, their experience is, their belief is. And it's an informed belief. So I know justice has taken forever. I know sometimes we can't see accountability anywhere on the horizon, but friends, it feels to me, it really does, like with the 1-2 justice punch of District Attorney Fani Willis on the eve virtually of indicting Donald Trump and his criminal associates, and Jack Smith doing what few federal prosecutors would do, not going by the tired old blueprint, because no one has ever had to draw up a blueprint for a criminal president trying to, you know, attack the Capitol, stop his political opponent's win, and unconstitutionally retain the power of the presidency. You know, that calls for a new approach. You don't just follow the same old blueprint. So with the 1-2 justice punch of Fani Willis and Jack Smith, I wish I could say it was a three-punch combination and put Alvin Bragg in the mix, but I don't think we're there yet, and I don't think Alvin Bragg has even given anybody a light slap, never mind a good justice punch. I'm talking figuratively, not literally, not violence. But I'm not prepared to say we've got a three-punch combination working at this point, but we've got a 1-2 justice punch. And I am feeling better today about the prospects of Donald Trump and his criminal associates being held accountable than I have felt in a very long time. Because justice matters. Friends, as always, please stay safe, please stay tuned, and I look forward to talking with you all again soon.
For more on Glenn, go to Glenn Kirshner 2 on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. This is Justice Matters.